You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I write about the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago and Bears Wire. I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis, and today we're going to look at where the Chicago Bears could still spend some of the cap money that they've got sitting around. There's a number of veterans out on the market that I think would be potential wise investments for the Bears in terms of potentially a one-year deal on sort of a mercenary-type player that comes here looking to play for a contender and potentially then either get another contract with another team a year from now or just kind of get a ring as they move along in their career here. So we'll go through some edge rushers, some defensive linemen, and then a few particular familiar faces to some of the Bears coaches that could be good fits as free agency rolls along. We begin with the outside linebackers because I think after this sort of first wave of free agency, that's pretty much where the Bears' biggest need sits right now. Outside of like kicker and punter and long snapper and fullback or whatever, the positions where they have to have a body in there. Right now, I think your third pass rusher in the rotation might be the biggest need. You've got HaHa Clinton Dix to start at safety. You've got Buster Skrine in the slot. You've got pretty much every position from a starting lineup standpoint locked in on offense and defense. So it becomes about the most important backup spots, and that third outside linebacker in the rotation is the closest thing to another starter that the Bears don't quite have filled here. And there's quite a bit of edge rusher depth in this free agent class, and I think there's three veterans in particular that all kind of fall into this same category with a little bit of variation here of somewhat veteran outside linebacker edge rushers who can still offer quite a bit of talent to your team, but are going to be coming on some very low values, perhaps some of the lowest value of their careers, just given where they have stood in their most recent season and how they went to free agency this year. The most obvious one is the name I think a lot of Bears fans have been clamoring for since he was officially released by his former team. That is outside linebacker Justin Houston from the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, he missed a few games last season dealing with a hamstring injury that kind of limited him and overall limited his production on the whole. Still had a pretty strong season by his standards. I mean, 9 sacks is not anything to scoff at, but you know, he's had 22 in a year before, and you know, he still is just kind of hitting this middle of his career. He just turned 30 this offseason and still had a pretty strong season as a pass rusher. Never been a totally dominant run defender, but still able to hold his own in that area and get after the quarterback. And he may very well be able to still get a starting outside linebacker job somewhere this offseason. There may be an opportunity with another team that he might be more inclined to go to. But if the market doesn't quite materialize for him and he realizes he's going to have to be a number three rotational guy at this point, it certainly would seem that Chicago should be near the top of his list, not only for being able to play on the best defense in the NFL last season, but of course, reuniting with Matt Nagy in Chicago. And Houston would obviously be an incredible addition to this Bears defense, give him that another top-flight pass rusher in this rotation to just be able to throw so many different things at opposing defenses. You can give Khalil Mack some snaps off because you'd have Justin Houston and Leonard Floyd right in there to fill his spot. So you're not going to have any worry about overusing any of your edge rushers. You're not going to have anybody get too tired or worn out. And then, of course, if the worst happens and you have an injury to either Floyd or Khalil Mack, both of which have happened, well, then you've got Justin Houston, who you feel pretty comfortable stepping in there. But I think of the free agent edge rushers, perhaps he's probably the best still available on the market, so the chances of him coming to Chicago, even on just a one-year deal to get back out there next offseason, still seems a little bit low. But I think there are a couple of actually NFC North edge rushers that are really coming off of some bottom of their career type seasons that could be really cheap one-year options that can really boost their own value and get back out in the free agent market next year. That is Nick Perry from the Green Bay Packers, and no, not Clay Matthews. I really don't think there's much value in kicking the tires on Clay at this age in his career, unlike Nick Perry, who's still only 28, about to turn 29, and kind of still right in the prime of his career. And then Ziggy Ansah from the Detroit Lions, also 29, going to turn 30 this offseason, still has some good football ahead of him as well. Perry missed a lot of games this year and most of the end of the season. He had a concussion early on and then an ankle injury and went on injured reserve with another ankle injury, and there was a knee injury in there as well. Really just banged up for the whole season, and they only got, I think, 9 games out of him, which was only 1.5 sacks in total. And then with Ziggy Ansah, they got like almost only 1 game out of him before shoulder injury really got him, and then ended up on injured reserve as well with a knee injury. He ended up officially playing 7 games and getting 4 sacks in that time, but it was after week 1 that the injury started, and he really wasn't the same guy from that point on. So both of these players really, really at the bottom of their career value at this point. Ansah was playing on the franchise tag last year, trying to prove that he would be worth a long-term extension, really failed to do so, and might be trying to have another prove-it season, a la a one-year deal like with the Chicago Bears. And Nick Perry as well still has that next contract in his career there somewhere, coming off of the lowest sack output of his career. Perry's a guy who's good pass rusher, pretty consistent there, but also very strong against the run. He's never been like a top flight pass rusher, but he's had a season in double-digit sacks, and injuries have always been sort of the big knock against him. So you give him that one-year deal, you don't guarantee too much of it, and if he pans out, great, and if he doesn't, you're fine, and you can get on without him. But he could be that nice, cheap, swing-for-the-fences third outside linebacker, and same with Ziggy Ansah. Still trying to transition to the 3-4 that he played under Matt Patricia last year. Still runs with his hand in the dirt quite a bit, and he could still do that in Chicago. You're lining up in the same spot. There's no difference whether you're standing up or putting your hand down. And he's a guy that's, of course, had 2 seasons with double-digit sacks, 14.5 and 12 just 2 years ago. So both of those guys, to me, you could probably get him on similar contracts to Aaron Lynch from last year. Probably have to bump it up a little bit more, but a 1-year, $5 to $6 million deal to get a year of production on them in a third outside linebacker role where they don't have all the pressure on them. They don't have to play every snap. They can both potentially have less wear on them so they can stay healthier longer, be a little bit fresh when they rush, and potentially up their own productions and certainly be motivated to have a big season to not only win a championship but also get themselves back out on the free agent market next year to try and earn a bigger contract from another team. I mean, really, the Bears have to do something with the third outside linebacker, whether it's somebody just really cheap and you know, another Sam Acho type, or maybe they trust Isaiah Irving, but it feels like one way or another, even bringing Aaron Lynch back, they got to get a third pass rusher in there, even if it's not one of these veteran guys. But they do have the money to potentially add a luxury at another position and just to boost the talent on this team as they go all in for a championship. I've got a little bit of a radical idea that I don't know if a lot of people are going to like, but I'd like for you to hear me out here on a player that I think the Bears should look into maybe paying a lot of money to on a one-year deal to really go all in, maybe at a little bit more of a luxury position, but to help maybe push them over the top if they're really trying to go for a championship Super Bowl run in 2019. That's next on Locked On Bears. Today, we're looking at a couple places the Chicago Bears might be able to still spend some of their money this offseason. They've got some cap space to blow here and not a lot of glaring needs that they need to address at this point. And so Ryan Pace does have enough wiggle room here to potentially have a little bit of fun and address maybe a little bit more of a luxury than an actual need. But when you're talking about going all in on building a championship contender, this is the type of moves that can put a team over the top, even when you might not see it coming as far as directly filling a need. And I have a feeling this could be a little bit of an unpopular opinion, and that's why I'm prefacing it so much here to start. I do think this is a little bit of more of a radical free agent idea here, but hear me out. I think the Chicago Bears should sign Ndamukong Suh to a one-year deal. Now, I get it. On the surface, you can see a lot of reasons why you might not want to do that. Obviously, Ndamukong Suh has a little bit of a reputation, perhaps accurately, perhaps a little bit exaggerated, of being a dirty player. There were incidents of that with the Detroit Lions, and I'm not here to argue too much on whether or not he is or has been a dirty player. And you also say, okay, well, the Bears have enough defensive line talent. Akeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman, really like what Bilal Nichols is doing and on the up and up. Roy Robertson-Harris as well still has a lot of upside. You have all your defensive linemen back from last year. You don't need to add another defensive lineman. And I agree. You don't need to add another defensive lineman. But can you imagine this Chicago Bears defense the way it is now, plus Ndamukong Suh on the defensive line there? I mean, think about it. If we're going all in on a championship here, this is a player who is a Pro Bowl caliber player, has been in years past, hasn't made a Pro Bowl in the last couple years, but is still a potentially dominant type player when he turns it on that interior. There's a reason teams feared he and Aaron Donald and that just nasty, nasty interior of the Rams defensive line. And it's really, I think, exciting to imagine that with Hicks, Goldman, Sue, with Mack on the outside, Roquan Smith, Danny Trevathan in the middle, Floyd on the outside, the secondary behind him. I really think it could be a lot of fun to see Sue in this Bears defense. And he is sort of this mercenary player at this point in his career. He signed a one-year deal with the Los Angeles Rams last offseason, chasing a ring. Obviously got all the way to the Super Bowl and couldn't quite finish out on top, but this seems like the kind of thing he would be interested in doing. You can build some incentives in there for winning as well, so you can offset some of the cost and, you know, really make him earn some of those ring-chasing dollars. But it's very clear that he could step in and be an immediate contributor. He can kind of fit. You know, he doesn't have to play a pure nose tackle position. That's not really what he did with the Los Angeles Rams. It's not like he would move Eddie Goldman to the bench. He would really be that third defensive lineman. And Eddie Goldman actually doesn't play a ton of nickel snaps anyway. He's not even on the field for 50% of the Bears snaps every game. So there's plenty of snaps here for Sue. And I understand it would take snaps away from Nichols and his development, which takes snaps away from Roy Robertson-Harris and his development. And that's obviously not ideal. But I think if you're going all in on winning a championship, Sue can definitely be that guy to put you over the top from a defensive standpoint. You know, get him on a one-year, you know what, $12 million. If you can get 14 again from another team, that might be a little bit too rich for my blood. But that's the type of splash signing that doesn't break the bank, but makes your team better and gets you that much closer to a potential championship. And I think that's the key, is there would be significant improvement that you get from Sue. He is a real legit upgrade from Bilal Nichols or Jonathan Bullard or Roy Robertson-Harris. There is real value to adding him. It's not like, you know, the likes of Le'Veon Bell, for example, who's going to make your offense better, but how much better does Le'Veon Bell make you? I think Sue makes you a lot better, and he would not be a long-term financial commitment. It's a one-year thing. The mercenary, bring him in, have your success, move on the following year, and reap the rewards of a better defensive line. But if Ndamukong Suh is going to be too expensive, I guess the backup idea could be Muhammad Wilkerson. He only played 3 games for the Packers last season before injuries pretty much ended his season. But he's the poor man's Sue in terms of a cheaper mercenary defensive lineman here who can come in, has proven himself as a good interior pass rusher, can be dangerous on that one-year deal, still has some stuff left in the tank, don't have to invest in him long-term financially, but you can benefit from his ring chasing and seeking that winning season and still make that upgrade on your defensive line, and potentially have him on a much, much cheaper deal than Sue. I'd really like either of those options, just as a little bit more of those luxuries to upgrade the Bears' defensive line with a little bit of this lingering cap space that Ryan Pace still has. But hey, I'm realistic enough here to know That's likely not going to happen with either Wilkerson or Sue. But I do think there are some veterans out there that aren't going to be that level of talent, but have enough familiarity with these Bears coaches that they would be a little bit more likely to be added to this team with the money that the Bears still have left over in their cap space. So still to come on the podcast, we'll look at some familiar faces for this Bears coaching staff that could be some sneaky veteran additions to help this team in the locker room and on the field. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. So we know the Bears aren't done signing free agents here, entering this second wave of free agency, but I think it's unlikely at this point that we're going to see a big splash signing like Justin Houston or Ndamukong Suh. Not impossible, but less likely, I think, than just some more reasonable, cheaper veteran options, especially a few guys still out there that these Bears coaches are familiar with from their previous teams. If Ryan Pace still wants to add to the running back position, if the Jordan Howard trade is seeming more and more inevitable, if that becomes the reality for Ryan Pace, I'd keep an eye on Spencer Ware from the Kansas City Chiefs. He played for Matt Nagy for two seasons and missed all of 2017 with an injury, so he was there for 3 years, but only played for two under Nagy. And he's a smaller but physical, strong runner, and I say smaller as in height. He's 5'10", I think 230. He's got some real beef to him, but he's a pretty good receiver out of the backfield. You know, not a game breaker, doesn't have that explosiveness per se, that second gear as a runner, but very capable catching the ball and continuing to run hard after the catch. And he's also pretty darn reliable in pass protection. It's an area he's gotten better at in the last couple seasons, and he can be a running back that you keep in there on third downs, even if he's not going to be, you know, the Tariq Cohen in the backfield. But we've seen him rush for 921 yards back in 2016. He can be an every down running back if you need him to. But if you're bringing him into Chicago at this point, he kind of slots in as your number three running back, assuming Jordan Howard becomes out of the picture. That, you know, between he and Mike Davis, they're going to handle most of the between the tackles carries. Cohen's going to have his role, and Ware can be a little bit more of that third down back and your short yardage back to be able to do a few different things here and maybe add a little bit of a different dimension that isn't otherwise there in the backfield with Mike Davis and Tariq Cohen. And he's certainly going to come cheap, likely cheaper than Mike Davis. Again, low risk, but knows the offense already and can potentially have some upside to offer some added value above what his contract is going to pay him. Then on the other side of the ball, there's quite a few former Indianapolis Colts that played under Chuck Pagano hitting the free agent market. None of them are going to be guys that you get super excited about, but if you want someone in here that's going to be familiar with your defensive coordinator, know some of the things he's going to want to implement, and add that value to the locker room, there's a few options here. One of them we talked about before free agency in our free agent safety preview podcast. Clayton Gethers is a younger safety who can potentially fill in as a starter if you need him to, but be a top backup and a special teams contributor. Again, he's not a guy you get super excited about if he has to start in place of Clinton Dix or Eddie Jackson, but he can do it. He can get the job done, and maybe you feel a little bit better about him with more experience under his belt than a guy like Deion Bush. He can do both the free safety and strong safety stuff, you know, can be a little bit more interchangeable there. And again, some injury history in his background, so you don't want to rely on him, but could be very well a veteran minimum contract to come in and provide you a lot more than a veteran minimum's worth of safety and special teams play, and just give you a little bit more security there at the safety position. And a similar situation on the defensive line with veteran Al Woods, a nose tackle for the Colts who kind of fell out of favor after Chuck Pagano left, started out as their starting nose tackle this last year and slowly fell more and more in the rotation. Still played in 14 of the games and just not a ton of snaps, as he's now about to turn 32 years old later this month. He would come in and just be that backup interior player. You know, he's not going to take snaps away from Nichols or Goldman or Roy Robertson Harris, but can give you a little bit more confidence in your backup nose tackle than Nick Williams or whoever they end up rolling with there. Again, you're talking about a veteran who played 1 year under Chuck Pagano as a 16-game starter there. There's some familiarity there, not over the top, but it's about a veteran presence for a younger defensive line overall, and just kind of giving you more stability there, giving you a little bit more depth. So again, you can feel a little bit more comfortable if you get an injury situation or for whatever reason you need to put Al Woods in there. He's got plenty of experience under his belt and can at least hold the fort there on the interior in a pinch. And then to wrap up, there's just a pair of players in the secondary beyond Clayton Gethers that I would put pretty large question marks next to, in just the sense that it would seem unlikely at this point that either would come to the Bears, just in the sense that they would be looking for potentially bigger roles on other teams. But one is safety Mike Adams, the other cornerback Rashawn Melvin. Now, Melvin started a number of games for Chuck Pagano in 2016 and 2017 at the cornerback position. Spent last year with the Oakland Raiders on what I believe was a one-year deal and had a pretty strong season. Kind of got himself back out there as a starter and on the outside. Not a ton of picks or anything like that, but just more consistent coverage, consistent tackling, and should, in theory, be looking for another starting cornerback job. He's still only 29. Had some inconsistency through his career, so it's not like he's going to have this huge market. And obviously, he isn't signed yet, so it's not like teams are lining up to sign him. So, you know, if he can find a starting spot somewhere, he's gone. The Bears don't have a chance. But if he's looking at where do I want to play as a backup, you know, plug him in Chicago as that number four corner. He can get in there in some dime situations. And again, Prince Amukamara has an injury history. If he were to go down, I feel a lot more comfortable with Rashawn Melvin going in there than, you know, Kevin Tolliver at this point, or, you know, Sherrick McManus on the outside, or whoever they're going to try and plug in there. Melvin could be a much more consistent and much more reliable outside cornerback that you just feel a little bit better about your depth. He's an Illinois kid, grew up in Waukegan, went to NIU for college, so it'd be a little bit of a homecoming for him as well. But the familiarity, again, with Chuck Pagano would be the biggest draw for me. And then the safety, Mike Adams. He is about to turn 38, but still start a 16-game starter for the last 2 years for the Carolina Panthers, still playing at a pretty high level for one of the oldest starting safeties in the NFL. And similarly, situation-wise, if he can get a starting job somewhere, that's where he's going to go at 38 years old. He can still play like a starter. The question is, in this deep free agent safety class, where a lot of the starting safety slots are being filled across the league, will Mike Adams find that potential role anywhere? And if not, would he then be willing to come back and take a bench role to play for Chuck Pagano, who he played for 2014, 2015, and 2016, making two Pro Bowls along the way, I should mention. Again, a 38-year-old, you're not going to start him over Clinton Dix or anything, but if you have an injury at safety like Gethers, you might even like Adams better in that starting spot than Gethers and feel more comfortable there. But, you know, could he be chasing a ring potentially as well coming to Chicago? I think starting seems to be the more important factor for him at this point rather than potentially money or championships. So we'll see how the market shapes up for Adams or Melvin, but a pair of guys you would sign to play on the bench but you would feel comfortable with if they had to start in a pinch, which I think is the ultimate value signings you can get at this point in free agency with this type of market. It's really the win all around, knowing the system, having the starting experience, coming in cheap, playing a bench role to start, and really just being that just-in-case player in the secondary. So there are still a lot of guys to be interested in here, whether it's the big fish or little ones. Ryan Pace has some good options here, and I would expect as this week gets going, we'll be hearing about the latest additions to the Chicago Bears roster. And no matter who they sign, we will be here to break it all down right here on Locked On Bears with your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast to keep up with all of our daily shows. You can also keep up with us on social media, on Twitter at Locked On Bears, Instagram Locked On Bears. You can join the Locked On Bears Facebook group as well, and you can join the conversation right here on this podcast. Leave us a text, leave us a voicemail. The phone number is 312-620-8590. Whether you've got questions, you've got free agents you want to see targeted, or you want to complain to me about my Ndamukong Suh take that you think is ridiculous and stupid, no matter what it is, be nice, but I want to hear from you on the voicemail and text line. Again, phone number 312-620-8590. I don't know about you, but if I was in your shoes, I think this podcast would be even more fun to listen to if I was you getting involved in the show. So don't be a stranger. Feel free to reach out. I think together with you on this podcast with me, it'll make it that much easier to bear down.